What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Kind of Funny Games cast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by one of the coolest dudes in video games, Greg Miller.
How gross is it to think you get in a bathtub full of peanut butter? That sounds horrible.
I'm kind of into it, dude.
You would be, you fucking weirdo.
It would be hard to breathe.
I want to submerge your face. That's not a good call.
No. Just your body, like your chest, all that peanut butter pushing down on you, it would be hard to breathe.
See, this is one of the few times I'd prefer the smooth peanut butter. Speaking of some smooth peanut butter, we have the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
I like it crunchy.
Yeah, I do too, right?
Yeah. It's crunchy. Hard. It's not as smooth of a spread, obviously, on the bread. It kind of fucks up the bread a little bit.
Yeah, it fucks the bread up real bad.
Yeah, I kind of like that, though, you know?
Let's get dirty. And like speaking of dirty, we have the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
I personally think you're an idiot if you prefer smooth over crunchy to everybody
else.
I think you're an absolute idiot who doesn't deserve rights if you prefer smooth over crunchy peanut butter.
Greg, so you want you want fucking rocks in your peanut butter. You want rocks in your sandwich.
I want a little bit of texture. I want a little bit of
personality.
And you need to toast the bread first. You can put smooth as many fucking peanuts as you want on there, right?
Can you imagine the crunchiness, Kevin?
Yeah, right?
Can you imagine
that
beautiful texture? Anyway, I'm on a gaming podcast. I wore a video gaming shirt, everybody.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
I wore a video gaming shirt. This I got it for N7 Day, and then N7 Day came and passed, and then I finally got it like 3 days later.
And here we are.
I'll be honest, I was very confused because on the Discord screen, you are flipped. And so
he's on the regular screen, you flipped too. So I was like, wait, okay. It looks like N7, but it's in
Yeah, I was like, what is backwards 7N? And then I'll be like, oh, wait.
And speaking of gamers, we got him for one of the first appearances ever on the Kind of Funny Games cast. The master of hype, Snowbike Mike.
Yo, what's going on there, team? Thanks for having me. Andy, unfortunately, I'm a smooth peanut butter guy, so we're going to have to draw the line, big dog.
I've put up the tweet. The tweet is out right now with an hour time limit. Peanut butter, smooth or crunchy. We'll get to the bottom of this.
We will. We absolutely will.
We will, Andy.
We can have a whole podcast of the stuff that Mike and I have never eaten, and you all will be furious and livid.
I hate it. I hate it. You guys,
Mike, what's at the top of your list that you haven't eaten that's going to make us mad? Never had an egg? Impossible.
Straight up.
Nick.
That's impossible.
You're fucking lying. He's not lying, dude.
Not within other food.
I'm talking about scrambled eggs, deviled eggs, eggs over easy. Any sort of egg. I've never had it.
No, check this out, Greg. Greg, check this out. You think that's his number one? My number one for him, he's never eaten shrimp before.
I mean, eggs shrimp.
Eggs are like such a basic thing your parents are going to give you. You're going to get anywhere. You're going to have even just a hard-boiled egg in a salad. You're telling me
egg
you've never
like a white people thing. Egg, and then also it's Mike. He's the whitest guy I know. But eggs are in everything. Eggs are multicultural.
Yeah. Eggs are like unavoidable, basically.
Well, no, they're avoidable.
How do you avoid eggs without like, do you purposely avoid them? Because that's the only way you could avoid eggs is if you're like hell bent on, I am not eating an egg.
I go to McDonald's, Blessing. I get the sausage egg McMuffin, right? I take the egg, frisbee toss it right out the window. Keep it moving.
Get the shit out of here.
Why
would
you get the sausage egg?
Can't you just get a sausage
with egg? Just get the
sausage.
Well,
then they make it all distracted at 6 a.m. Little Billy's in the back. You don't know what he's doing. He puts the egg on anyways. Yeah.
Good Lord. There's a lot going on. This is the Kind of Funny Games cast where each and every week we get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. You could get the show over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or roosterteeth.com. Or if you want to listen to it, we're a podcast too. Just search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games cast and we'll be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad free or be one of our Patreon producers or get the Patreon exclusive post show, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Just like all of our Patreon producers did. James Davis. It gets me every time, Greg. The phone number, 248-835-3699. Thank you for supporting us. Jeffrey P. Long, Julian, the gluten-free gamer, Sancho West Gaming, James Hastings, and the man, the myth, the legend, Tom Bach. Thank you all very, very much. Also, shout out to our beautiful sponsors, Fubo TV, Guideline, and HelloFresh, but we'll talk about them later. I want to get right
in. The good guys are winning. The good guys are winning. Smooth has 66% of the vote right now.
How? Oh, this is
people don't want to eat rocks.
All over
no, it's the Crunchy's going to win at the end of the day. It's all good.
No, you'll just say it did. You know what I mean? Because you're one of those types.
We're waiting on the European vote. Everybody's asleep over there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they want Marmite or whatever. Come on. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, let's rub some leeches on it and put fucking Vegemite on it. You know what I mean? Then we'll boil it and eat it.
So I wanted to talk about Demon Souls. We're going to get to that in a second. But looking at Snowbike Mike's hoodie right now, it reminded me about Fortnite. I have some thoughts on Fortnite. The 100 Thieves compound was put into Fortnite. Did you guys see this?
Yeah.
No.
You can literally go into the 100 Thieves studio in the game. One of the most bizarre things ever. What super dope. Love it. All's about it. But I don't really want to talk about that too much because I don't have much to say. I said it all right there. I want to talk about this Galactus event. What the hell?
It's happening.
Is it as cool as it sounds? Is it actually just a one time everyone has to band together to fight Galactus?
No. I mean, that's the idea, right? Yeah, that on Tuesday Galactus just shows up. What do you got, Andy?
I mean,
we're streaming it, Andy. You don't have to be on the team. It's me. It's Blessing. It's Kev. I guess it'll be Barrett or it'll be Joey. You don't have to be part of it, Andy.
Andy, we have a segment coming up later that's just called Spicy Snowbike Mike. Right now, I want some little angry Andy. Give me
sour Andy.
I mean, look. Here's the thing, man. I gotta sit around and listen to these people talk about joining in parties, getting on Fortnite. And what is it? 2018? It's 2020. Okay, we're fragging in Warzone. We're hopping into Apex. You know what I'm saying? We're getting awesome headshots. We don't have to build anymore. We don't have to worry about that mess. I don't care about your back bling. I don't care if fucking Venom is in there. Maybe Jim Carrey from The Mask is a new character you could download. I don't give about that shit. Okay, we have Saw. We have the guy from Texas Chainsaw Massacre in the war zone. Okay, this is Fortnite. Get over it. Come on. It's a new decade, you know?
But Andy, Galactus. That's cool.
Andy would care if his alien ant farm coming out of there. He'd fucking jam with him. You know what I mean? That'd get Andy going.
The thing, man. You watch these competitive tournaments. It doesn't even look like Fortnite anymore. Wolverines jumping around, slashing at people. What video game is this, dude?
A better one.
I see.
It is a better one.
Storm is shooting shit. Like, it's not even a fucking game. It's not a shooter anymore.
I was there with you until about a week ago. Where I stepped back into Fortnite and I got to play as Wolverine and I got to play as Thor and I was like, oh, this is cool. This is way cooler than what I played in 2018. And what I played in 2018 was good. Like, this is what it's become is it's very fantastic. It's a Marvel game, basically.
Yeah.
It's a Marvel game and you're playing alongside a dinosaur with a fucking robot on his back.
What's like, it's about this, Andy?
All the things they're saying are awesome.
Andy's being typical Andy with his hipster glasses and talking about how hipster he was. He was playing Fortnite before it was cool, and now that it's super cool, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. Playing these indie games.
Don't get me started on Among Us. Jesus Christ. Enough with that game. Anyway, we can talk about it later time. Jesus.
Wait, Snow Mike, before we get the Greg and Bless's thoughts on Fortnite, where are you at with Fortnite? Where are you at with Galactus specifically?
Who the hell is Galactus? Okay, I'm gonna be honest with you. Who the hell is Galactus? I'll tell you straight up. On top of that, man. I'm done cranking soggy 90s, Tim. I'm past that. I've been there, done that. You know, they were jumping all around. I'm bored of that, right? If you're not sliding with a nasty slide, then I'm not in the video game anymore. Fortnite, out of here. Done with it.
All right, Greg.
What's
Greg
a soggy 90?
It's a soggy 90, Kevin.
What you mean you don't know what a soggy 90 is, Kevin? You're the one playing the video game.
Ew.
Is that like Tony Hawk?
If you've never cranked a soggy 90, then you're not playing Fortnite.
Clearly, you're not playing Fortnite with the best of them. What are you two doing over there, Jabroni?
What are they talking about, dude?
Great. I think it's a Fortnite move. I think it's like a
soggy 90.
You know how they have 180 no scopes in Call of Duty or 360 no scopes?
Oh yeah.
Is that what a soggy 90 is?
You got my back there.
Now I'm in.
Soggy 90 is.
Soggy 90 is when you're in a team fight and you're in a build off, right? And you're cranking the walls, right? But you don't just crank one wall, Jabroni, right? You got to crank a 90, right? So I'm looking for you to crank soggy 90s.
I don't build when I play.
Yeah, I know you don't build when you play because I see you play.
Yeah, I'm not good.
Greg, what's your experience been with Fortnite the last couple weeks?
It's been fantastic. This Marvel season's so much fun. I'm having such a great time with it. It's cool to see, you know, it dropped, a week before Avengers or whatever, so then I got lost with my Avengers group, and then it was next-gen season, everything else in review season. So to have this gap right here to end it, to be able to come back and have the play sessions we've had with Blessing, Kevin, Joey, and Barrett has been a lot of fun. And yeah, like, you know, it's exactly... it's the difference of what Fortnite was and what it's become right now. And like, I think it's fun to have a group and run around. And, you know, Kevin and I were talking about this the other day that, and I think Blessing too, that Fortnite, you know, played by yourself versus played with the team is such a different experience. When I'm playing by myself, I feel like, and I'm, you know, middling at best, and I'm way worse than I was back when my last Fortnite obsession came through. But it is that thing of playing by myself. I am trying to win, and I am making it to the top five, and I am losing at the very end because somebody's building way quicker than I can. But I'm having a good time, and I feel competitive. Whereas playing with the group is fucking around and shooting the shit and catching up. You know, especially right now where we all are, where, you know, we don't get to have the fun conversations anymore. The conversations we have are on camera and about the work, and then we all fuck off and maybe send a Slack in a joke. To actually be able to have the catch up that is the office has been fun. And of course, you know, I still can't get over how much Marvel love is in this season that they've done. You know, having, you know, the other day, you know, buying Venom and then having Venom falling, you know, dropping into the map with Christmas lights wrapped around his arm and then kicking over to Silver Surfer's surfboard to land and us to go fuck around and then only to get killed by Dr. Doom or by a brainwash Iron Man, right? It's been fun. And so I'm stoked for Tuesday to see what the Galactus thing is. It will be the Galactus shows up. We don't know exactly. It's one of the world events they do, Tim, that'll end the season, that changes everything kind of thing.
Okay.
So theoretically, what I'm anticipating is Galactus shows up and we all, at the same time, Galactus shows up in everybody's map and everybody's match, and you'll all run and you'll shoot him and work down a giant thing you assume that beats him, that then triggers a video that then leads us into the next season of content for Fortnite. It's similar to how they did it when, you know, the black hole ate all of Fortnite, or when, you know, the rocket ship launched and cracked the ceiling of Fortnite and all that jazz. It's those kind of like giant events that are meant to rally the group and get, or the community, and get everybody on. And there's stuff that I've watched before on Twitter, but I'm excited. Actually, we're going to stream this one on Kind of Funny. We'll get in there and actually see what happens, since we've all been more into this season, except for Andy, who hates it.
I wish I'd get an invite one day. Jesus, sounds fun.
Andy, you spent 15 minutes dragging it through a fucking shit.
You don't want to be Nick. Out of all people, don't do that.
Yeah, dude, that's really sad. Like, you hang out with Nick the most. You know how bad that is when he does this.
Yeah? You could hit me up whenever, man. I'm available.
Did you join the Squad Up Slack channel?
No, I refuse.
Oh.
Andy's been too busy playing Demon Souls, and that's why we wanted to have you on the show this week. Everybody has been clamoring. The Kind of Funny best friends are like, where's the coverage of Demon Souls? And, you know, Greg and I gave you guys just as much as we said we would. We're going to give this thing a shot, and we gave it a shot.
Wait, Tim,
but
before,
you've been giving it a real shot.
Tim,
what's up, Kat?
Before you talk about Demon Souls, can I just talk about Worm Jazz for a second?
Is that what you do at night in your bed?
No, it's a game on the Switch.
That's where he's making his soggy
sake. No. It's 2 months ago, Greg, you were like, hey, man, here's a puzzle game that you might like on the Switch. And I really, really like it. It's like you're a worm that can only move in one direction, and you grow every time you eat a little bead. It's just a really, really cool puzzle game. So just shout outs to that game. You know what I mean?
What's it called?
Worm Jazz. And you can get
like the music.
Yeah. You can get 171 stars. I have 169. Will I ever get the other two?
Oh.
I don't know. You know what I mean? That level's real, real hard.
Right now, hold on. Right now, it feels like Kevin is talking to the parents that is really doesn't care about what the kid is doing. Like, you can get 180 stars. Like, that's good.
That's great, honey. That's great.
I love that we were introduced to the soggy 90. Yep. Kevin brings up Worm Jazz. Andy asks, is that what you do in your bed? And Greg, without missing a beat, takes it to the soggy socky. No, that is disgusting.
That's horrifying. I'm sorry. It's 174 possible stars. I have 172.
Wow.
Those last two are real tough.
Yeah, we gotta go to Safeway next, mijo, okay? So get in the car.
All right, so Andy, Demon Souls. What's your experience like? How many hours are you in? Are you beating this game?
Oh, yeah, I'm 1,000% beating it. I am... the time clock says I'm 52 hours in. I don't really believe that. I leave the console sitting around a lot. I also stream it a lot, so I talk to chat, and I walk away and do that whole thing. So I'd say probably around maybe 46, 47 hours. But it is just, it's masterful game design. It's one of those games that is shocking that it was made in 2009 and nobody else has caught up to the genius of its level design. Mm. I feel like with everything happening in the game, when it comes to the world building, when it comes to lore and level design and world systems, it just like every other game feels lazy compared to it. Every other video game that's been made, when it comes to like, when I think of these open world games, that there's, you go to the next point to level up and you go to the next point to loot or whatever. The way these games are crafted, and obviously, like, I'm not telling anybody who's listening to this isn't hearing anything new. They know, a lot of people listening to this have known about these Souls games for a long time, but they've known how genius they are. But it still never I will always have my mind blown whenever I experience, I'm going through this level and it's been a fucking tough run and I'm like low on health. And if I go right, it looks like I will continue. It looks like I will continue the level, but if I go left, I might find something new and I don't want to go all the way back because I might die on the way back. It was a long ass trek. And then you go left and it opens up a gate and you are right next to the beginning of the level somehow. And you go, oh my God. Like, and that happens fucking every level in this game where it's all about finding the bonfires, Tim, and you don't want to lose all your souls. And I have so many souls. I don't want to risk losing them here. But it's a long ass walk back to that other bonfire or to that other archstone to save and go back and kind of cash in these souls. And then when you experience these shortcuts, it is, I always have my mind blown. You always go, God damn it, From Software, you're so good at this. And nobody else has caught up to this, dude. I'm sure, you know, I say nobody else, but I know other games have had good level design in the past, but
no one has had any level design like this ever.
This game, it's from 2009, and it just feels so ahead of its time. There are still like some kind of crappy 2009 things happening when it comes to enemy AI and when it comes to enemy pathing. There are a couple of boss fights that feel just really wonky. I experienced a boss fight recently that was one of the worst experiences I've ever had in gaming, probably, where it's just super, super duper hard. And then that second phase begins. You go, oh my God, I thought I was so close to being done with this first phase or with, I thought this was the only phase here or whatever. I'm kind of curious about it because it's obviously it's Blue Point's recreation of it. And we hope it's not their only remake because apparently there's an Easter egg in the game where you hear Metal Gear Rex scream.
Really? Oh, yeah, I haven't heard that yet.
Holy shit.
That's like apparently an Easter egg that some people have been experiencing. I don't know how true that is.
Was that behind the door?
No.
No, it's when you are in in the Nexus, apparently.
Did they get through the door? Do we know about the door?
Yeah, the door was just armor.
The door was found. Yeah, the door was like a brand new armor set or whatever. So what I'm really, really excited about, or what I'm really confused about rather, is that obviously Blue Point kept saying we are staying absolutely true to From Software's vision with this. We're not going to fuck with anything. So kind of a lot of the gimmicky things and a lot of the stuff that kind of made the game janky in some ways where you see speedrunners just using all these exploits, they're still in the game. And so that shows me that From Software hasn't really, or Blue Point didn't really touch anything programming wise, because there are a couple of boss fights where you enter this area and these gargoyles fly at you and they have just the worst pathfinding ever. Like they don't ever attack you directly. They'll just fly to random spots and you're like, I'm right here. What are you doing? So there's a lot of like broken enemy AI that happens. And I wonder if Blue Point was like, we want to stay true to Miyazaki's vision. We want to stay true to From Software's vision, or whether From Software was like, just don't touch this shit. And I don't know. I wish I knew the truth. I wish I could be like a fly on the wall for those conversations, because they did patch out one thing where you could get a boss exploit where you could essentially just shoot a boss through the fog gate before you enter the boss fight. And apparently that's like a way to exploit it and cheese it and get the easy dub. But they apparently patched that out. There's a lot of other stuff they could have touched and chose not to. But this game just feels so next gen to me still. Like they visually, it is just mind-blowing. I don't know, character creation, lighting, everything in this game just feels so next gen. And then obviously all the fast travel going back to the Nexus, coming back to new areas to level. I just cannot stop playing this game. I'm so addicted to learning everything about it, just like I did with Bloodborne earlier this year, which is still my game of the year 2020.
So you didn't play the Dark Souls games, but now you've played both Demon's Souls, at least a lot of it, and Bloodborne, which are kind of like the two ends of the whole thing, right? Like Sekiro's in there, but that's like different. People look at Bloodborne as kind of the spiritual successor
to Demon's Souls,
right?
Yeah.
So how do you compare them? Like, are you still entirely Team Bloodborne?
Well, I would be a lot more into Bloodborne right now if it looked like this and if it were 60 frames per second. That's like the big issue, is like Bloodborne is such a fast paced game and it's still 30 frames. And there are a lot of people assuming that Bloodborne's going to get the full 60 remaster with updated textures and updated lighting and stuff like that, because Sekiro and I believe Dark Souls 3 got the 60 frame upgrade just automatically, similar to, you know, how we saw Ghost of Tsushima get some upgrades and we saw some other games kind of get those ghost drops, you know. What's what I'm looking for? Phantom drop? What's what I'm looking for?
Shadow drop.
Shadow, that's the one. These are all in the same vein, guys. Ghosts, shadows, phantoms, okay? But we saw those games get those upgrades, and we're hoping Bloodborne gets the full thing or whatever. It's tough to say, Tim, because I think I like the combat of Bloodborne more. I'm more of the fast pace, timing the parry, and then getting in there and shooting and stuff. With Demon's Souls, you can kind of build really cheesy builds with magic spells, and the magic spells are like extremely OP. You can just stay at a distance and kind of like Harry Potter him to death really, really quickly.
Expelliarmus!
Yeah, and it's like I started off with one of those builds, and I was taking out NPCs in one spell, and I was like, this doesn't feel like it should. It should be a little bit tougher than this. So I just went with a knight build, which I'd say is probably the closest to the Bloodborne build. When an enemy's attacking you, you parry them, they get stunned, and then you hit them for much bigger damage than just a standard attack. Either way, like the lore, I've just been diving into all the lore videos and the side character stories and stuff. It's all so damn interesting. But I did want to mention about you told me which one I preferred. I am so worried about Elden Ring coming up. Phil Spencer mentioned that he played Elden Ring.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while there, we were thinking like, what happened to Elden Ring? It got talked about at E3 and it never got brought up again. And this is the new From Software game with Miyazaki partnering with George R.R. Martin. And what sucks is it's probably not going to look this good. And it's because Bluepoint's just like otherworldly when it comes to visuals and fidelity and stuff. And what I'm hoping is From Software saw early looks at Demon's Souls and was like, shit, we got to overhaul a lot of this. Because the thing about Souls games, they're ugly games. Like whether they get remastered and run at higher frame rates, Dark Souls 3 obviously looks a lot prettier, but they don't look nice fidelity wise. Like the characters always look kind of gross. The textures haven't been the best. The lighting hasn't been the best. Art direction wise, still, they're obviously insane when it comes to like the way their bosses look and the way all these enemy encounters look. They're insane. Their art direction is absolutely, you know, phenomenal, but the games look ugly, inherently kind of gross. And a lot of people are like, oh, Andy, you're gonna play Dark Souls 1, you got to go back. And it's like, man, these games are so gross to look at, dude. They're so like they're just there will be no going back from here. I've been hearing Barrett talk about like, Dan, I've been experiencing these 60 frames now. It's like, I can't go back. That's how I feel with Demon's Souls. Like this, I've seen the greatest. I've seen how it looks at the top. I don't want to go back into those other doo-doo caca games, you know?
I was surprised playing it for the little that I did, that obviously it is stunning to look at. But I was surprised at the facial animations. And I guess this is because of the character creator and all that, where there's just so many variations you could do. I was like, oh, it's not that great. Like looking at the character itself, and especially I was looking at videos, like there's that glow around the character. I'm like, it kind of takes away from how beautiful the game is.
That's in the game. So when you see the glow, you are in demon form, or you are in your soul's form. And that's inherently built into the game. There's a game system called World Tendency, which is built in. And if you play the game, you can kill yourself and then enter the game in your soul's form. So you have less life. But if you die, it doesn't affect the grand scope of things in Souls form. If you die in human form, where you have more life and you don't have that glow, that changes the world tendency and harder enemies start to appear. You start to find better loot though. And other players around the world can invade your level or whatever. So they can come like fight you and fuck you up if they wanted to or whatever. So like when I talk about things like the systems in the game and how world tendency works, and if you do better, you turn to a lighter tendency and the enemies get easier. Like all that shit is built into the game, and it could be tough to grasp, and you have to like read up on it and watch a couple of videos, but it's just so awesome. I agree with you with him when it comes to facial animations. The Souls games never have facial animations, first off, unless it's in a cutscene. But when you walk up to an NPC and they're looking at you and talking to you, they never do that. They just look at you and they move their head and their mouths don't move. But in this one, Blue Point actually tried to do that. And it seems kind of procedural, like the animations are kind of just based around how the sounds the character is making with their mouths or whatever. So I don't disagree with you there. But the character models themselves, when you're creating, just look way better than anything From Software has put into. The From Software characters are always like really long and lanky and gross looking. And Galvatron. I don't know. I like the vibe of this way more. Like when I saw my character without a shirt, I was like, oh shit, my guy looks jacked. And I've never seen a jacked character in a Souls game. So I am just absolutely enthralled with this game, and I've been putting nonstop hours into it.
Before we move on, any closing thoughts on Demon's Souls?
I think it's an absolute must play. I think there are builds that you could find out there that will make the game easier for you if you are worried about difficulty. I think obviously that's the biggest barrier to entry, is just, you know, how many times am I going to die or whatever. But it's all about being patient. And it's all about making a build that works better for you. What sort of combat do you appreciate? So I hope that this brings in a lot more people like me who were scared to get into these, who was scared to get into this franchise because of the inherent difficulty. But you can overlevel, which is always great. You know, a lot of people are always worried about the difficulty. You can grind and overlevel and make these fights a lot easier for you, as opposed to a game like Sekiro, which is, you don't overlevel, you just gotta get good.
Yeah. What is everybody's plans for that, for Demon's Souls? Bless, are you going back to it eventually?
I'd like to. Everything that Andy is saying is making me want to jump back into it. Like right now, we're in the place where there are so many games, and so I feel less obligated to try and spend all my time trying to struggle through Demon's Souls, while there's other games coming out.
Yeah.
But I'm still in that place for. I am halfway through Bloodborne still, and like I return to it every now and then. I'm like, oh, this is a struggle because I've been out of it, and so when I try to return, I'm like, okay, well, this is going to take some getting used to. I found that when I started Demon's Souls, even though I think it looks way better than Bloodborne and like it seems awesome, I wasn't in love with the animations as much. And maybe this is just I have to upgrade my character sort of thing, but like the swings and like the way you adjust your, like I have the switch, I think it's called the switch axe in Bloodborne that I'm rocking right now. Like the animation when you adjust that and like swing with it and do all these different things, I just find way more satisfying than right now the lunge I have in Demon's Souls that doesn't feel as satisfying, and if anything makes it more difficult. I'm sure again that's the thing I can upgrade. Like eventually I'll probably be able to swing a sword as opposed to just like lunge directly. But those are the things
that's because of the character you chose. The character you chose has that sort of poking, fencing sort of style or whatever.
Yeah,
but
a lot of the other shows. Either like a magician or priest or something like that.
Yeah, if you pick like a knight, they come with a broadsword where you're swinging and stuff, and it's a little bit slower, but they're heavier hits. The animations, they've actually expanded quite a bit. Blue Point did, where there are animations for. So you remember like doing the visceral attacks, Bless and Bloodborne. Yeah. That's how That's how you get that huge damage. Yeah. So in here, in Demon's Souls, you have your parry attack, which stuns them just like the visceral does, and then you go in for that big damage, or the backstab, which is kind of another way to cheese these fights better. But what's really neat is Blue Point has done this thing where they have added different animations for a lot of different weapons and a lot of different stances. So if you hold your big ass weapon with two hands as opposed to one, it offers a brand new animation set as well. And two-handed weapons, if you're holding your big ass sword with two hands, it also deals more damage but you can't block or parry and stuff. So you're kind of like, you know, giving, you know, finding the risk and reward of that is there. But Blue Point did a phenomenal job with a lot of these anim- I agree with you, though. That's the first weapon I started off with, too. I think the royalty class, you start off with that sort of fencing poking style.
I went and royalty I was like, when I tried, too.
Yeah, I think that's what I did, royalty.
And I was like, this kind of, I don't like this. This kind of sucks. And when I switched to knight, you start off with a better sword. But you find weapons all the time, and they will tell you what damage styles that they inflict, whether it is a slashing type of damage, which does good against certain enemies, a stabbing sort of damage, which does good against certain enemies, or like a hammer type blunt. Mm. There's a lot of different melee damage styles that are all sort of in the game that I think you got to give it a shot, Bliss. I'm just constantly blown away by everything this game does. And it's just like, God damn.
I mentioned this to Greg, but like I mentioned this to somebody yesterday, where I walked into the living room and saw Michael playing it on the big 4K TV that we have out there, and it looked ridiculously good in a way where I was like, this might be the best looking game I've ever seen. And like, you know, that has me kind of into it. And yeah, like I chose I guess the royalty class because of magic, because I heard magic was really good in this game, like somewhat OP. And so like I like the differences that are there from Bloodborne. Like those are the things that are making me want to return to it, because it seems like it is inherently somewhat of a different experience, because the strategy is different, the themes are different, and also it doesn't seem as scary as Bloodborne, which is kind of one of the big things that has me like, ooh, I don't know how much I want to go back to Bloodborne, because it was earlier in the year where everything was already stressful, and then for me to jump into Bloodborne where everything is spiders and everything seems wet and like the game is inherently just difficult and stressful, I was just like, oh man,
I will say this. That was sort of my argument at the beginning, too. I was like, oh, you know what? This is going to be a Souls game. Nothing's going to be as scary as Bloodborne. And a lot of people are like, Andy, just wait. And I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
And so there are a couple of areas that are really uncomfortable and off-putting with creatures that you do see in Bloodborne. I mean, Bloodborne is the spiritual successor. They mentioned that in Bloodborne, there are a lot of deleted areas that people were able to data mine stuff from that you found references to Demon Souls in. So this is sort of like a spiritual sequel to Bloodborne was a spiritual sequel to Demon Souls. But I will say overall, the experience is nowhere near as creepy as Bloodborne. Yeah.
And that appeals to me a lot. I saw Greg when he was streaming Demon Souls, when the PlayStation 5 embargo first lifted. I saw Greg encounter like the big blob creature that had like all the different shields to it, and like was, I guess, made up of an amalgamation of all those blob creatures. And that was the thing that made me go, all right, that seems kind of creepy to me in a way that kind of gives me goosebumps, but it's definitely like, I could deal
It gets worse than that. Oh, God. Yeah, but I will say there's nothing like, you know, obviously in Bloodborne, there's a snake forest where you just encounter enemies that come after you, Tim, and then when you hit them, their head explodes and just a big bunch of snakes pop out. And I was like, fuck this. I had to play that area off stream because I didn't want to just experience it and be embarrassed and scared on stream. Like, I had to rush. It was awful. It was terrible.
Like,
but
Andy, you've seen me play Bloodborne in the office. Yeah. And like, I cannot sit still while playing that
I would
game.
Just see him sitting there like, oh, shit. Yes, I will say it's definitely not as scary, Bless, but it does have its creepy moments. There are its creepy areas that when you hop into them, people will be like, oh, careful with this area, because there's sort of this Cthulhu thing with like tentacles and it like runs after you in a very creepy way. Like, there's a lot of creepy shit like that, but nowhere near nowhere on the level of Bloodborne.
Okay, and I can deal with that.
Yeah, everybody play it. It's fucking incredible.
Before we move on, I want to tell you about our sponsors. This episode of the Kind of Funny Games Cast is brought to you by Fubo TV. I've switched over to Fubo TV. Cable, what's that? Let's get rid of it. Let's work with the future, which is the present for me. Fubo.tv. TV. I've been using it to watch The Bachelor. You know me. Bachelorette this season. If I'm being real, it was a real stinker of a season. And they turned it around. Tayshia, baby, coming to save the day. And I get to watch it every week because of Fubo.TV. The monthly cost of cable is over $200. Fubo TV is a $65 a month to watch the same channels, and you don't pay for DVR or an installation. You just kind of tell it what shows you want to watch. It adds it to your library. It auto records it for you. It's fantastic. It could not be easier. Fubo TV is how you should be watching TV. You get everything you want all in one place for less than the cost of cable. It's awesome. With Fubo TV, you'll get all your favorites like This Is Us, The Bachelor, like I was talking about, the Premier League, and the NBA. That's what Cool Greg's really excited about. All the news channels and so much more. There's no risk to try it out. You can get full access to Fubo TV for a few days for free. Right now, Fubo TV is offering you guys the free trial and 15% off your first month by going to FuboTV.com/kindoffunny. There are no contracts and you can cancel anytime. Go to FuboTV.com/kindoffunny for 15% off your first month and a free trial. One more time, that's FuboTV.com/kindoffunny. Next up, I want to give a shout out to Guideline. Offering a 401k sends a great message to all of your employees if you are running a small business. It says that you have their back when it comes to choosing a 401k provider for them. Which one will have yours? That's what Guideline is for. If you think your business is too small to offer a 401k, it is not. Guideline provides easy and affordable 401k plans for small businesses and startups. Whether you're offering an employee retirement plan for the first time or want to make changes to your current retirement benefits, they design a plan to fit your needs. There are no separate setup cost, no added investment fees, and monthly fees start at only $39 plus $8 for each employee, and they integrate with popular payroll providers. For a limited time, if you go to guideline.com/kindoffunny and tell them you came from Kind of Funny, you can get a $100 gift card when you start your 401k plan with Guideline. That's guideline.com/kindoffunny to get a 401k for your business. Don't forget, guideline.com/kindoffunny, and tell them Kind of Funny sent you. Finally, shout out to HelloFresh. We've been talking about HelloFresh forever. It is a meal delivery service where you don't need to think about it too much. You just go on. There's a ton of different offerings and ton of different options of what type of food you want to get. Different, whether it's two people, four people in your family, it doesn't matter. They have boxes for you. You can choose stuff with meat or without meat. Right, Kevin?
Yep.
That's true. Kevin's been doing this. And of course, Paula, vegetarian. They have a whole bunch of options. It's been really nice for them.
You can even add a side of meat so that you can cook that and then add it to the meal if you so choose.
And then you're going to do that because Kevin, obviously.
I love meat.
He loves that meat.
And the garlic bread. Very good.
Yeah, they've been really great. I always talk about the pork ragu that Gia made me a while back, but recently she's been making a whole bunch of things. Joey has it too, and everyone's loving HelloFresh. Blessings on the train. It's great. Go to HelloFresh.com/kindoffunny90 and use code kindoffunny90 to get $90 off, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/kindoffunny90 and use code kindoffunny90 to get $90 off, including free shipping. So there you go.
I said the F word. Sorry, sponsor.
It's all good. Mike, I want you to get spicy. But before you do that, I want to give you the leeway. I want to give you the walking space to give us your impressions on the PlayStation 5 as a whole. Because you, of course, the host of the Kind of Funny X cast. You can find that on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe. But you now have a PlayStation 5. You've been playing a little bit. I want to get your thoughts on it all. And at whatever point you want to segue into getting spicy, that's on you.
You bring me on to the Kind of Funny Games cast just to get spicy. This is going to be a great time. I appreciate that. Over here on the PlayStation 5, I'm impressed. I'm having a really good time. It is the next generation, right, Tim? As I'm sure you've heard on PS I Love You XOXO with those two jabronis over there. It is the next generation, and it feels good, it plays good, and it's a ton of fun, right? It might be a little too big for my entertainment center, but in all honesty, Miles Morales, Demon's Souls, Sackboy, and Astro Bot have been an absolute blast to play, right? They're really awesome games, they're really cool experiences. I, as a, you know, semi-PlayStation guy only for the exclusives, I just hate turning it on. I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to get spicy, Mike, right now. Let's just get right into it, okay? I hate turning on this PlayStation so much. I got to hold that dumb controller. Then I got to turn on the console.
Controller.
Which PlayStation are we talking about?
Let him finish. We're talking about this PlayStation, Blessing. All right? And so I'm holding on to the dumb controller. Then I got to turn on the thing, and I'm getting lost in folders. It's sideways. It's going odd directions. And then when I try to get out of the game, it's got a bar on the bottom that I can't even see. I'm just telling you, I've always hated the PlayStation UI, and that's just a me thing, right? That's not a you, the gamer thing, because I enjoy the games very, very much. But my PlayStation experience so far, eh, you know, it's all right. It's all right. That's what I say. It's all right.
What beef do you have there with the controller?
Oh, that controller sucks, man. If you're not holding the PlayStation, if you're not holding the Xbox Elite controller, are you really gaming? Okay, let's talk about this for a moment. It's got back buttons. It's got triggers that you can pull off and change. It just feels right in your hands. I go over there and I hold
it's the also $300.
And the thing is trying to work my index finger out as if I'm at the gym or something, right? I don't need the haptic feedback. I don't need that bullshit. God. Okay. And so yeah, I just don't like the controller. I don't like PlayStation that much. I'm just not a PlayStation guy.
Andy Cortez from Kinda Funny.
I will say the main glow up that I've had going from PS4 to PS5 is the DualSense, because I fucking hate the DualShock 4. I think that is one of the worst controllers I've ever used, and the battery lasts 20 minutes, right? The DualSense absolutely kicks ass. Feel-wise, trigger-wise, I love the sticks. I always used to like, obviously I wanted to play like Fortnite with Greg or whatever. It's like, shit, I wish I could use my Xbox controller. So I would buy Xbox sticks to install them on the DualShock 4. I just fucking hate the DualShock 4. The DualSense is like the biggest glow up for me. And we have a solid state drive now with awesome loading times. I still think the DualShock or the DualSense is the biggest glow up, because that's how much I hated the DualShock 4.
That's the truth. I agree with Andy right there. I do like the DualSense much more than the DualShock, but I still just not a fan of this controller, right? I don't like the feel of it. Where the heck is this dumb controller? Where the heck is this dumbass controller? Here it is. And so I look, you know, and I'm like, why are these buttons so far apart, right? Why are the face buttons over here so far apart? Why don't I have some back triggers to really get into this next level gameplay that I want? Mm-hmm. And the shoulder button's too big. I could go on and on about what I dislike, but I do like the games. I like playing over on PlayStation. So don't get it misconstrued there, best friends out there. I'm just saying I'm having a good time, but I'm also having one of those times where I just don't like turning on the system. Right. I'm not a big fan of going over there. It's got to be something really special. Miles Morales, you got me over there. Demon Souls, I played the first hour. I'm tempted, right? Astrobot, I played like 2 hours. Guess what? I'm never going back. Right. And so for me on this PlayStation side, it's got to be something big to grab me, to grab this controller, turn on the console. All in all, I like the next gen. Don't get me wrong. Like Andy said, we got some really nice things here. And the boys will tell you on their show how great it is. But for me as a casual gamer, it better be the biggest and the baddest game over on PlayStation for me to jump over and turn this console on.
So I want to keep the spiciness rolling here.
Keep the spicy.
Some would say this insanity. But let's talk about NBA 2K. You said that you have some beef with that.
I got some beef with this, and I've had beef with it for many years, Tim. And I'm sure a lot of fans out there, if you truly are into NBA 2K or if you're into sports games, you know the biggest gripes, right? These guys and gals work very hard, and the developers, you do an incredible job. Thank you for making these sports games. But whoever's making the big calls, they're diving too hard into my wallet, and they're making a lot of decisions that are holding back the fan base that I really dislike. And so now we jump in to NBA 2K21, which released on the previous generation of consoles and now has a new whole standalone game called Next Generation, right? And that's cool as a bee, because I can see Zion sweating in front of me. I can see Steph Curry's weird puffy afro and beard that doesn't look quite right, you know? But the issue is when you jump in, of course, there's only one thing you want to play, and that's called My Career, because everybody wants to be the next LeBron James. Everybody wants to build their character. And the problem that I have is everything that I had on the last generation, all that money I spent, does not follow through. That VC does not come over. Then on top of that, the moment you build your character, guess where they're going to send you? To Rookieville. And you're probably saying, Stone, like, Mike, that doesn't sound that bad. They have promoted what the neighborhood used to be turned into the city. And the city is this giant, sprawling, open world where your homies are skateboarding. One guy's on a scooter, one guy's riding a bike, and you pull up to different parks and we hoop out in the streets, right? And it's supposed to be the coolest idea you've ever heard. But when it comes down to actual functionality and the play of it, it is the worst experience I've ever had in a video game.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Greg Miller, get ready. So you start the game and you go into Rookieville. Rookieville is located on shipping docks in a dark corridor with no lights and 4 grayed out courts. The issue as well is you don't get to play with your friends. When you jump into this game, it's all about playing with your friends, because who doesn't want to hoop with your friends, right? So you jump into Rookieville and you have to play all these games all by yourself. No friends, just randoms. And when I say you play with randoms, I'm talking about Andy Cortez over there shooting 2 of 17, and he hasn't passed me the ball all game long, Tim. And you have
to do this. I'm feeling a hot streak coming, Mike.
You have to do this from rookie one all the way to rookie three to get to pro one. That could take anywhere from 5 to 25 games, depending on how you and your team perform. If you take an L and you get 0 points with 2 rebounds, you're going to get 2% of that bar worked up. You know how long it takes Tim Geddes to get all the way up to pro level one? That took me 15 games for a grand total of 6 hours. That is bullshit. Why? Because we're promoting this big city that I want to get into. So I break free Rookieville. I get past all the losers that are 65s and below. I finally get to go into the big city. And guess what you're greeted with? You're greeted with a Grand Theft Auto 3 PlayStation 2 looking ass city. The fucking textures look like shit. The buildings look bad. And when I say it's a city, God damn it, Greg Miller, I mean it's a fucking city. There's 4 different teams here. There's the north side, the south side, the east side, the west side. And when I say you got to fucking walk, if I'm on the north side team and Blessing's part of the south side, it's going to take me 7 minutes to walk my happy ass all the way down to see Blessing. And that's the dumbest awesome. Shit I've ever seen. And
Mike, and by the time you get there, your hamstrings are worn out, your ankle kind of, like, you know, you can't do good in the game anymore, man.
I show up and the city has so many courts, right? Blessing's crew, they have 10 courts. I got 10 courts. Andy and Greg, everybody's got 10 courts out of these 4 different areas, plus all the shops in the middle and the pro-am. And a lot of jabronis now, instead of wanting to hoop and play, they want to sit down. They want to skateboard. They want to scooter around town. And so when I show up to the court, there's like 7 kids there. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why is there
vaping and shit?
I hate to see it.
Yeah.
The games, you have this massive world. Everybody's on the same connection. And the game continues to stutter out, which they've done for years now, ever since the neighborhood and the park was built. Because for some reason, when we're playing, I got to see Andy's court over there playing their game. I got to see Tim's court over there playing. And it's just this mess of connection, lack of playability, nobody in the population of this city. And I'm just so frustrated with such a cool idea, an awesome idea. But when we continue to do it year after year and they dive into my wallet where I can start the game off and I can be 65 overall, or I can give them $150 and I'll be 85 overall.
Oh my God.
How much money that is? Now get this, Greg Miller, because I know you are a sports fan. You ready for this?
Yeah.
If you fuck up with that build, Greg, and the meta changes, and you put on the wrong stats, you put on the wrong wingspan, the wrong height, the wrong weight, whatever it may be, and that build becomes trash, guess what? You're going to have to spend $150 on another build, and another build, and another build. And so you sit there with so much anxiety at the player build screen, because you have 2 options. You can either be a jabroni like me and my buddies who just get slapped around and fucked up all the time, or you can go out there, damn my God, build on YouTube. This is the meta. Be this guy on Reddit. And then you build these characters, but you still suck, and you're $150 down. And it's just so incredible that we have gone for years now doing this, and I see these review scores of like, this is the greatest game ever. I'm so proud of this. And then Dirt 5 doesn't get any love on the best sports and racing game of the year after that game is just next level shit. It's insane that some of these games get passed up and then we continue to come back here year after year and praise this game, which I'll give it. It looks better. It doesn't play better. It's the same exact game, but we still continue to have these connection issues. We have this dumb, grand idea of the city. Andy Cortez laid on me.
Mike, I would love to experience any of these things that you're talking about, right? The good, the bad. I'd love to try to experience it. But it's been about 12 years. It's been about 12 years since I first scanned my face and put myself into Tiger Woods 2007, 2008. It's been 12 years since that's happened. And that worked flawlessly. I'd take my photo from the front, put it on the side, go to the EA website, upload those photos. I looked fucking dope in the game. Me and all my friends look sick as shit. We're all golfing around the links. It's great. Jump back a couple of brews or whatever. NBA, my face scan has been this thing has about a 20% success rate. And it's been broken as shit for the last, I don't know how many years. I downloaded the newest app. It is one of the worst just user experiences I've ever had. So I haven't even hopped into this shit because I haven't been able to get a favorable look for my character. And in the video that I posted where I had that busted ass created player, where first off, I'm not a black man, but it made me a black man with a fro. It had my teeth, my bottom teeth sticking out of my bottom lip. Like my whole bottom, like, you know, mandible was sticking out of my skin. And then I turn it to the side view and, you know, some guy made a comment and said, did you take photos of a dachshund and upload it? Because from the side view, I look like a fucking dog because like my snout is sticking out. And I'm using a very, very good camera phone. First off, you open up the app. And you have to re-log in every time. It doesn't save that where you were logged in. You have to, like, I'm logging into Xbox. Let me type in my Xbox Live stuff. Luckily, Google saves those codes for me. I log in. You go to the My Face Scan app, and it tells you, look at the camera, and then rotate your head slowly, and then rotate all the way back. And it'll ding when it's done. Cool. Ding. It's done. Awesome. And I'll sit there and wait. And it's loading and it's loading and it's loading. And this takes about maybe 3 minutes. It gets to the very, very, very end. And then it says, some of these photos are fucked up. The camera turns back yep. on. The camera turns back on to retake those photos. You don't know what position you were. You hope you get it right. And when the camera comes back in, you are vertically squished. Every time my face is vertically squished because it's looking like it's Tim, it's like, you know, you took the scaling restraints off of.
Yeah.
And the transform. The transform. So it's just like I am like super tall and skinny now.
The camera takes away 10 pounds. There you go. That's
how it's capturing my face now. And that's going to screw it up. So I have to restart again to try to do it absolutely perfect. And I'm looking at the camera and everything seems perfect. And then people say, Andy, don't use the front camera. Use the back camera. How the fuck am I going to use the back camera if I don't know what I'm looking at? So I use this camera to bring up OBS to use my back camera to then see the reflection of what I'm doing, and it still comes in janky. And then and that's not even like mentioning all the times that it gets to 100% and then it says the fucking faces failed to upload. Like, oh my God, guys. Like when I posted that video and I said about 30 tries, it was probably more than 30 tries. And I still haven't gotten to this point, Mike, because I want to see my face in the game. Why is this so fucking hard, dude? Why is this the worst experience, man? It's terrible, dude.
You're telling me, though, that in Tiger Woods, it used to work for you?
Yes. In Tiger Woods, all you would do, because it was tied to EA's website, you didn't need a fucking app that's going to, like, first off, when you open up the app, it shows you, like, an ad for something. It's like, okay,
you
dude,
motherfuckers.
So on the EA website, all you would do is you took a shot of your front face and your side. And then you would go to the website and you would set, like, here's where the tip of the nose is. Here's where the tip of the upper lip is and the tip of the chin and all this shit. And then it would just do it at work. And it was awesome. And it was so fast and easy. And with this goddamn thing, like, obviously, because these graphics are newer, it's harder to be more precise because the flaws are going to show more.
See, but I don't buy that, though, because, like, Snapchat. Like, if we have Snapchat filters and Instagram filters and all this stuff, it's like, they have this magic. Why does 2K not have this technology? You got to imagine that they can at least partner or link up with somebody if they're going to have a fucking app to do this shit.
It would be so much easier to just upload photos to a website as opposed to using an app that works 10, 20% of the time, if that. And then you go to the and then if it doesn't fail here, you better fucking be sure it's going to fail here on this goddamn TV. Cause like if it goes through the app and it says success, it's like, oh great. And then you go to the Xbox and you say like, all right, confirm. And then it'll start loading and it goes to the loading thing and that takes a while. And then it'll get to 100 and be like, nope, error. Like it is so broken. It is one of the worst user experiences I've ever had, dude. It's inexcusable, man. It's been years of this shit. And this isn't the first year I've tried it. I tried it with like, I don't know, 2K16 or 17, whatever year that they.
This has been the history with this, right? Like, I mean, even in WWE 2K, I remember when I was still playing those and I had started every time trying to put my face in way back in the day on streams, trying to put Colin in, and it would always look terrible and patchy and weird and bizarro.
Yeah.
I mean, even for me, the first time I did it, and it never worked in the history of the Tony Hawk franchise, but in Tony Hawk's Underground, which was in 2003, I'm looking at an article on IGN right now from Doug Perry explaining how to face scan, because I remember it Doug being Perry. A ridiculous process, and it, yeah, it's fucking crazy. You would take a picture with a digital camera and then email it to faces at thugonline.com, and then Neversoft employees would create the character and like map it.
That's
and
awesome.
You'd have to connect your PS2 online using the network adapter to download.
Holy
it.
Crap.
That's how complicated this all was. And I will never forget getting my picture back and looking like Blessing and being like, how did this Thank happen? God. So I did it again, and it again looked like Blessing. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I gave up on it. Never again. Although, then I was a black dude facing off against Eric Sparrow. So you know how it goes.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Guys, I just figure it out, man.
Talk to Instagram. Talk to Snapchat.
Here's the thing. It's like, I just feel like because it's so broken, why even offer this? Now, I need to ask Khalif what the secrets are. Because Khalif posts his face every year, and... and doesn't seem to post tweets that are complaining about it. So I got to assume it works with like 100. Who does he know at 2K?
Didn't he have to shave for it, though?
Khalif does shave his face. You're right. No, but I think he does that because
he wants to add the beard later.
Yeah, because you can definitely add it in later. You can add in the and now I can do that on mine as well. Like when I take my photos, it does upload sort of like it's darker where the beard would be. And then you can then place a beard polygons, you know, in polygon form above that. But yeah, it's been so many years of this, and I gotta assume I'm not alone with my experience. Because when I posted that video, I got several replies saying like, oh yeah, this happens to me every year. Kevin, I'm sending you this video on assets.
Yeah, one time I've tried doing it with like NBA, I want to say NBA 2K16, I tried it and it did not come out good, and I was like, well, that's
never
just
trying this again.
Yeah, it doesn't work on me.
And here's the thing: like, I would be way more willing to try it if I got the results fairly quickly.
Sure, but if you saw you failed right away and you're able to fix it and tweak it.
Yeah, and I knew that it was going to be successful in at least uploading. But the fact that I have to go at least 10 attempts in between every other attempt, it's just not worth it, man. It's just not worth it. And I had so much faith too. I had so much faith that it was going to be seamless and flawless.
Why?
Next gen's about convenience.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, I loved all the comments on my Instagram. They're like, next gen, baby.
I finally got the face.
Yeah, so I was like, here we go. I finally got this shit working.
21.
And then, yeah,
the spitting image.
And then, it's pretty spot on. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's like the fact that my teeth are just sticking out of my bottom lip is just like, it's horrifying. It just sucks, man.
Oh, bad. Yeah, that is real unfortunate. Speaking of things that sound like they're unfortunate, but I want to hear more about Bright Memory, a game that apparently was the one that started off the Xbox May conference, the one that looked graphically amazing. And then they're like, it's made by one dude. You guys have played it. Bless. What are your thoughts so far?
So to be clear, the one that we played is Bright Memory, which is basically I'm still not totally clear on it. I don't know whether it's like the predecessor to Bright Memory Infinite, whether Bright Memory Infinite is a sequel or just an expansion to Bright Memory. Snowbike Mike, I don't know if you have more clarity on that one.
I'm going to go with what you said on the second part, where it's just the continuation of this. This is building. This is probably a small slice of what we're seeing here, but yeah. I haven't got a good read on this. I just know one guy made this, and
yeah,
it feels like a tech demo here.
Here's what I got for you on Wikipedia. Bright Memory, also known as Bright Memory Episode 1, is a first-person shooter hack and slash video game developed by Chinese independent developer FYQD Personal Studio. Instead of creating an Episode 2, the game is currently being remade and expanded in both gameplay and story into a full-length title called Bright Memory Infinite that is planned to release on Windows and Xbox Series X/S in 2021. Players who bought the PC version of Bright Memory will be able to get Bright Memory Infinite for free.
Sweet. So yeah, the code we got was for Bright Memory on Xbox Series X, and I played a little bit of it, and it seemed not good. I don't even know where to start with this thing. Like, I was very excited to try it out because from watching the trailer, I remember during our watch along, I was very excited for this because it looks incredible. Like Kevin's playing the trailer here, and it looks beautiful. You know, the gameplay looks fun. It has this first person. Runner. Yeah, it's like a first person, yeah, Ghost Runner kind of style to it, but like you're doing shooting and slashing, and it looks like you have like some kind of like Bioshock abilities too. Like it looks like a fun first person action game. And upon booting up Bright Memory on Xbox Series X, you know, to his credit, it does have the style it's going for, but that's kind of where for me it kind of ends in terms of things that work about it. Like it seemed broken on multiple levels. Like the there are multiple times where I'd try to fuck around with the UI and the UI would get stuck. Like I think I tried to what was the thing I was trying to mess with? I was trying to mess with something. I think I was either trying to invert controls or no, I was trying to mess with sensitivity, like you know, like input sensitivity for sure. The y-axis or whatever, and I went to the menu, pulled it up, tried to turn it down because I think it was just like way too high. Tried to turn it down, and then the menu just got stuck there, and I tried to close it and come back and do all these things, and it just got stuck, and so I would have to restart the game in order to fix it. Along with that, there are like multiple glitches that I had in gameplay, and I got to the second level before I was just like, yeah, this thing seems bad, and then I stopped playing it. Like, it wasn't fun to control. The shooting seemed off. The action seemed off. The enemies seemed very, like, in terms of physics, right, like, hitting them didn't feel fun. Like, there didn't feel like there was good feedback there in terms of hitting an enemy and feeling like you were taking somebody out. Like, everything there kind of felt plastered together in a way that I couldn't believe that this is something that apparently was making ripples and is being advertised as a next big step for an Xbox Series X game.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, after my time, I'll tell you, it's only about 28 minutes, right? You can beat it in less than 30 minutes here with this little vertical slice. And like Blessing says, right, it feels like it's supposed to be a Doom fast twitch shooter here, but it doesn't feel good on the controller at all, right? It just doesn't connect well. It doesn't move well. And then you try to link up these combos with your sword and time stopping abilities, and everything just kind of feels clunky. And it was a drag to try to get through this. The only thing for me that I liked was the weird looking enemies, right? All of a sudden I'm fighting some giant demon that looks like he's out of Demon Souls, or a lion that's mixed with an armadillo and a tiger and a turtle. I don't know what the hell that thing was, but at least it was cool on the screen while I was shooting its face off with a shotgun. But it just did not feel good. Thank God it was only $7 on my end, because I would not have paid any more than the $7 price tag that it's currently at. After beating it, I'll never go back to it for sure. This Bright Memory Infinite, whatever this guy's cooking up now, has a bigger hill to climb instead of how me and Blessing felt after May, right? Where you came out of that and you're like, oh, snap. Like, that guy's got a samurai sword. He's got a grappling hook. This is going to be some dope shit, right? Now I come out of that and I'm like, you got to really sell me, dude, right? If this price tag is over $20 and you think this is going to be the biggest game on Xbox over here to help bolster this lineup, we got a problem, because it does not feel good. It doesn't play good.
I heard it's going to be 45 minutes this time.
I didn't realize it was 28 minutes until Mike told me before the show, which means that I got very close to the ending and I wouldn't have realized that. Like, I probably played about 20 something minutes and was like, all right, I'm done with this.
I've seen enough. I need to beat this.
So y'all mentioned that the gameplay is kind of like, you know, kind of crappy or whatever. Is it also just really, really bad performance wise?
Yeah, it didn't perform well for me.
No, not at all. It didn't perform well at all.
Bad frame rate and stuff.
Yeah, especially where it's like you're jumping into the next generation of consoles. This has been promoted out there on one of their big videos. Sure, it's a different game, but you know, the name is still there, right? And so you see that it's one of the few optimized titles on the Xbox Series X library, and of course you're going to click on that. And for what I experienced there, you quickly will hit uninstall and regret that purchase right away.
Yeah, it legitimately feels like a, hey, how do we get our name out there? Okay, yeah, let's put this game as one of the few optimized Series X and S games and have our game be alongside when you open up that menu and you see Assassin's Creed Valhalla and you see Yakuza Like a Dragon, right? And like, well, our game will be one of the few games up there, so people are going to check it out and buy it anyway.
This feels like the beginning. This feels like the Switch launch.
Yeah,
and it was just like, oh, if we put up our games near, you know, Mario Odyssey and stuff, people will buy it.
And maybe it performs better on PC, because when they showed it off for Bright Memory Infinite in that Xbox conference, I remember being hyped about it and then like looking on Twitter, and like I got a few tweets from people being like, oh yeah, and Bright Memory is also already out on PC if you want to check it out. I remember getting those and being like, oh yeah, this must be like some kind of cult phenomenon. People must be playing it, enjoying it. And so I wonder if on PC it plays better. Maybe that's where they're getting this bolster. But yeah, on Xbox Series X, it did not play great at all.
So right now there's not too many enhanced games, optimized games for Series X, but the Halo Master Chief Collection recently got its update. Mike, you've been playing that. Ooh. What you got for me there?
Tim Geddes, it feels like a brand new game. It feels so good to return. Halo Fridays with your friends, like Alana Pierce would say on the Kind of Funny XCast, are back, right? I'm talking 120 FOV slider. You crank that thing back to your earlobes, baby, and it feels good, Andy. I'm fucking the fastest Halo Spartan I've ever had, right? Greg Miller's looking at me, he goes, man, I remember playing that game, and it was slow, man, right? I didn't feel like a super soldier. Why am I out there clunky jumping and shit like that? I'm telling you, you crank that FOV slider, and they go from Halo 1 all the way to 4 right there, right? And it feels so good to jump back into. The resolution is up. The frame rate is so much better, and it just plays better over here on the Xbox Series X, 110%. And it's a ton of fun to jump back to.
Any game where you can upgrade an FOV slider, Mike, this is where they're going to start to learn, okay? This is where they're going to start to learn, all right? We have Nick Scarpino jumping in the war zone with us, playing mouse and keyboard on a PS5. And he doesn't quite have that FOV slider yet. He does have it on Black Ops Cold War, though. The FOV slider just feels like a brand new game in addition to these upped frame rates. It feels like a brand new game. So I'm excited to check this out, because when they dropped Halo 3 on PC and it was fully up res and you had the unlocked frame rates and it was, you know, crazy upgraded graphics and stuff, it feels incredible. Now I'm still kind of missing the dash or whatever, because I'll tell you what, Halo 5 kind of got me spoiled with the dash, but with the little forward and back dashes. I started to really dig that mechanic. Yeah.
Yeah, Halo 5 has really done an incredible job at upgrading it and bringing those controls and that gameplay into the modern setting that it needs to be to compete with Call of Duties and Battlefields and games like that, right? There's the traditional Halo, and then there's the new age Halo that we have to bring this multiplayer and gameplay up to ensure that everybody, no matter around the globe, Timmy, Tommy, Becky, and Susie will grab this and go, man, it feels like Fortnite. Man, it feels like Call of Duty. Instead of Tim Geddes, who's stuck in 2004, right? And he remembers Halo 2, and that's where he's going off of. We're not there anymore. We have to move forward.
Yeah.
And this, with the crossplay now with PC, everybody having, you know, the Master Chief Collection really rounded out and fold out with Halo 4 coming onto PC now too, is a big deal. Would I have liked to see it in the optimization on Halo 5? Me personally, yes. But was it the right thing for Master Chief? 110%, because that's where the player base is. That is where the heritage is of this game. And trust me, if you boot up Halo 5 on that Series X, it looks good, it feels good, and gosh darn it, it loads up so fast, and that's all that matters.
When the hell is crossplay actually coming?
I believe crossplay came with that patch. It's good to go.
Because I'm Googling right now, and it keeps saying, like, before the end of 2020.
I don't know, we better check it, because I thought we were good to go with this patch.
I hope so. But, you know, I did say that about Apex, and I only played about 3 days worth of Apex.
Dude, Andy, let's go back. We can go back.
Let's go back.
It was fun, Bless. We had a blast, dude.
Yeah, I'm down to go back. And, like, after that, because I was sucking when we were playing together, I played a few matches with, I think it was Regan Youssef, and I was racking up bodies.
You were bopping. It's the usual thing, Bless. It's the usual thing that always happens. I'll play shitty on stream. First game off stream, I have an 8-kill, 1,800 damage game. I was like, God damn it, why couldn't I just fucking do that earlier?
Up the show here, Bless, I want to talk a little bit about Harmonix's latest, Fuser.
Ooh. Oh, man. I've been playing a lot of Fuser. It's very good. I think I've talked about it a few times on this podcast, but a 288, right? Like, it is apparently drop mix, but expanded, where it's a rhythm game. You're a DJ, and you're putting together different tracks and different songs to go together at a show. So you're basically like, you have a track list you're working with, and you can drop on your table, right? Like the drum pattern to LMFAO. What's the name of the LMFAO song everybody loves?
Party Rock Anthem.
You can drop the drums to Party Rock Anthem. You can drop the lyrics to the Lil Nas X song that's popular. You can drop the Rhythm Town Run song. You can drop there's a new one. I think it's called Holiday. That's very good. It's very good. Lyrics are great. He's talking
Panini
about how many
was another one.
Panini was another one. Yeah. Lil Nas X on fire. and yeah, you're putting together these different sets and you're being creative with it, but also you have to like fulfill either fan demands from the audience, or you are doing a bunch of different things in order to rack up points and put on a good show. I've been playing with friends, and I've also been playing the online competitive mode. Those are the new things I've been doing. And on one hand, I find the online battle mode to be very fun and very interesting, because the way it essentially shakes out is you are competing online with people you don't know, and it is a versus battle where you're competing to get your songs on the board that you want to drop. You're competing to get your songs on the board over your opponents, and the way that you do that is by dropping your songs better and quicker and more on beat than your opponent. And so basically you'll have requests from the audience, you'll have different tasks that you're trying to fulfill, and you're basically trying to have more of your music playing than your opponent. And it is very fun. Like, I was shocked by how much of a good time I was having with it, playing that mode, because it essentially becomes this quick thing of, okay, the audience wants to hear a song from the 1990s. All right, what's the song? Okay, I'm going to play Push It. And so I'm going to drop Push It. Okay, cool, I dropped it. I dropped the drum line from Push It perfectly on beat, and I did it faster than my opponent. And so my version of the song is going to overtake my opponent's version of the song. And you're having like these small, like a bunch of small battles like that of like, okay, cool, I got to play a drum song, or oh, okay, I gotta play a pop song or a country song. Okay, well, I'm gonna play this Taylor Swift thing.
How much does Alien Ant Farm get played?
A little smooth. Ooh,
I don't know if there's any Alien Ant Farm in there.
Andy, go ahead and rant against this game. Then
terrible game, dude.
that is like a small rant I have. Is like, I was playing this game with the homie Zombie Kills on stream, and I realized that she was playing way better songs than I was, and I was like, how are you getting these songs? And I realized that she was getting them as DLC. It seems like they of course, because it's Harmonix, right? Like, a lot of the best songs in this game seem to be DLC songs, which bummed me out a little bit, because I was like, she's getting some great songs. I can't think of them off the top of my head because there's a lot of them, but I was like, dude, how is she getting X, Y, and Z, and I don't have that in my slate yet? That's a bummer. But yeah, that was a fun time doing the battle mode. And then co-op wise, when you want to play with a friend, I feel like that's where the game lacks, because you can't battle them. There's basically one mode you can play with friends called co-op freestyle, where you are going into these freestyle rounds with friends and trying to put on a better show than your friend. The thing that sucks about it is your round only lasts like, I want to say like 64 bars, or maybe even less than that, maybe like 32 bars. It goes pretty quick in terms of the round. And so like, you'll have like a one back and forth with you and a friend, or you and two friends, you and three other friends, and it'll be done in like 2 minutes, and then you can redo it again. But before you redo it, you have to go through the point screen, and you have to like ready up again and do all that stuff. And it feels very arbitrary in terms of wanting to play with friends and just wanting to put on a show. Like, they found a way to turn it competitive in a way that would be fun if it didn't interrupt the flow of the match every single time. And I don't understand why they did it this way, as opposed to letting people just play. And so that's a little bit of a bummer. I hope they update it to either remove that barrier or let people battle or give more options for multiplayer, because that's the thing that's kind of lacking, is options to play with friends. Aside from that, having a great time with the game, having a good time. I'm loving it. I don't know how much more I'm going to play of it, because I feel like I have ran the course in terms of playing all the songs that are in my repertoire, that are in my Serato, if you're familiar with that verbiage. And like,
you ain't got no Yeezy in your Serato.
I might go for the DLC so I can expand my Serato a bit and then maybe get another week out of it. But I think aside from that, I might be done.
Yeah, I think you might be done. Alien Ant Farm, there is no DLC.
Son of a bitch.
Damn. Mike, what's up?
Question from the press pool. Blessing over there. I have a big gear to grind with Fuser because I have been enjoying it, but me and my friends have not been able to play any online multiplayer at all, Blessing. We have tried about 5 different nights now and continue to connect and then disconnect and just bang firewalls there. I was just wondering, are you playing cross-platform play like they've promoted? Are you playing only on PlayStation 5? How are you getting these games in? Because when I look around, me and my friends have not gotten a game in yet, and we're pretty mad that they're promoting a multiplayer that does not work in our eyes.
You gotta update that nap type, Mike.
Yo, get over that nap type, y'all, motherfucker.
It did take me a couple of tries to connect with Zombie when we were playing. And I was playing on PS5. She was playing on Xbox. And so it was cross-play. And basically, we had to go... in order to make that work, we had to follow each other in the game because the game has a setup to where you can follow different artists. And by artists, I mean players, right? Like, you can follow different players. And players will upload their sets or upload certain things. So it's this whole cool social media as an artist sort of thing where you're sharing your creations. And so if you... It's weird because it's buried in the menu, but there's a place you can go to basically put in your friend's username, which will be probably their platform username, because for me it was MercCity64, within the pound sign, the pound symbol, or hashtag, whatever you want to call it, the numbers after it. So it's like a Discord username, basically, where they make everything their own. You add that, or you follow it, and then you're able to, if you're doing crossplay, you're able to connect with it through, you're able to connect with other players through that. The thing is, even with that, it took me and Zombie a couple of tries to get it right. Like, it didn't connect automatically. And so I think they probably are suffering some server issues in that regard.
Yeah, the game is dope. I mean, me and Gary spoke very highly of it on the Kind of Funny EX cast. We really had fun. I mean, I just go back to Lizzo and just play Lizzo all the time because I have no beat or rhythm.
Oh, yeah.
But it is a really cool game, and it's a must try. If you're into music, if you were into Guitar Hero, any of those games, like, that feeling of being up on the stage and seeing people bounce and jump, and you grabbing different tracks, I mean, that is a feeling I've never had before in video games, and I love it. The smile you get when you connect that beat and it feels so good, the best. You add a little Jolene with some salt and pepper, and you just mix it up with the Migos, the coolest experience ever.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's surprising how well so much of it works when you're putting together songs that you wouldn't think would go together. Like, when I combine the drum pattern from Stir Fry with some country song from the 1980s that I've never heard, and it works together perfectly. It's very satisfying. And yeah, like, the more I play too, the better I feel like I get at the game. And it makes me feel not only just good at the game, but it makes me feel like I'm getting more creative and better musically, where I, you know, have like a bunch, I have my four different tracks going, and then I go and I'm like, okay, I'm going to solo this track for a second, right? I'm going to do it on beat because that then gives me more points, and it doesn't subtract from my crowd reaction. So I'm going to solo this song, unsolo it, remove the bass line so I have like purely treble going on. Okay, cool. I'm going to now go back, solo the vocals again. While the vocals are soloed, I'm going to remove all the instruments, and I'm going to drop new ones. Okay, I'm going to unsolo the vocals. Now it's like a new beat behind the song. And it's like, once you get that going and you're able to do all that stuff at the same time, you feel like a god. Like, I understand now why people go out and become DJs, because it is awesome.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
Nick's
going to
hate you, though.
The Kind of Funny Games cast. We're about to do the post-show exclusive for Patreon users. Speaking of Nick real quick, Alien Ant Farm from the same hometown of Riverside, California, wow, as one Nick Scarpino. Wow. Greg Miller, what's up?
Before we go, we need to have the final verdict that, yes, Snowbike, Mike, and I are correct. 62% of the vote goes to Smooth. 38% goes to Crunchy. Y'all can go eat gravel in your front yard and make sandwich you want, you clowns.
Hey, more chunky for us, baby. Let's go.
Crunchy, not chunky. Chunky's chunky salsa.
They call it chunky. They call it chunky. Skippy calls it chunky.
Oh, that's disgusting. Chunky blow chunks. Barf. Next time you're eating your peanut crunchy, think about all the barf you're eating. You know what I mean?
Oh, God. Let's do the post show.